Father, we just pray in this Springfield and surrounding area, Lord, for a great harvest of souls. We ask for a sovereign gift of repentance, Lord. And we pray, Lord, you give new strategies and, Father, new ways to reach people, Lord, in their walks of life. Father, we pray for this great city. And we thank you and we love you, Lord, tonight. Father, speak to our hearts as we look at the word, we pray, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I left a few newsletters over here about I Am Missions, and I gave a DVD to your pastor. Maybe you can show it to you sometime. The Lord is increasing our influence around the world, starting more schools. We've started over 200 now around the globe, raising up leadership and doing medical missions and building projects and all sorts of things. We're translating the curriculum in different languages now, many of them. So it's a wonderful time with what God's doing. I wanted to ask you, have you heard about the silent revival that's going on in New England? You live in New England? Do you know what? There's a great work of God going on in the Boston area. That in the early 1990s, in Boston, it was maybe 3% of the people going to church on Sunday. Now there's about 13%. In the early 90s, there was about 200 churches in Boston, and today there's over 600 churches. And out of those 600, another 600 have been started around the world. And most of that's through immigrants. There's a move of God. And I want to encourage you that there's many small works like this all over New England. That God got prepared as the move of God comes, that there's places where people can come and be discipled. But rejoice over what's happening in Boston. Do you know what? That Boston Commons downtown now, it's a lot cleaner than it was. There's believers going down there and cleaning up the square. And there's prayer walks going on. So go visit Boston. This is a New Yorker telling you to go visit Boston. Something exciting happened this fall in Boston. What was that? Oh. I wasn't there a minute here. Would you? See, the fruit of the Spirit's operating in Bob. Well, praise the Lord. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 tonight. And I also wanted to read to you, you know, I've been looking at some of the old hymns lately, and I wanted to read you the words of an old hymn. Rise up, O Church of God. Rise up, O Church of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O Church of God. Let's say that. Rise up, O Church of God.
Rise up, O Church of God.
His kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong. Rise up, O sons of God. The church for you does wait, her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ. Tread where his feet have trod. As followers of the Son of Man, rise up, O Church of God. I wish I was downtown in Springfield tonight among some of my black folks, because I could say, rise up, O Church of God. I tell you, we'd get into it. You folks are pretty silent here, but rise up, O Church of God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah. Rise up, O Church of God. And I wanted to preach a little bit tonight about the first National Day of Prayer. The first National Day of Prayer. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, let's just look at one verse to begin with, verse 9. King Jehoshaphat spoke that an enemy attack was soon coming, and he called Judah to prayer. And the nation approached God as an expression of their dependence upon God. And here's what Jehoshaphat said in verse 9. If disaster comes upon us, if sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence. Come what will and come what may, we're going to stand in this temple and we're going to stand before your presence. For your name is in this temple. And we're going to cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. What a statement of faith. Regardless of what the future holds, we're going to stand in your temple, We're going to stand before your presence. We're going to cry out to you and pray, and you will hear and you will save. Oh boy, let's get a gift of faith tonight to believe that. We are living in troubled times. How many know that? And it is time for us to pray. Monday was Veterans Day. And we need to be thankful for those who have laid down their life and given months of their life and maybe years that we could have freedom of assembly here tonight. I'd like to read something to you. As the New York Daily News hit the stands, its editorial pages had been stripped of the scheduled copy, and instead the newspaper published the Lord's Prayer. Later that day, a train of passengers leaving Washington, D.C. approached a clergyman and asked him to lead them in a time of prayer. In the evening, almost 8,000 fans paused to pray before a boxing match in Hartford, Connecticut. And by nightfall, more than 75,000 people had used St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan as a place for worship and intercession. It was June 6, 1944, more commonly known as D-Day. As American sons were advancing on the beaches of Normandy, the citizens of this land were responding to President Franklin Delano Roosevelt's national call to prayer. During a nationwide radio broadcast, the President himself prayed these words: "And let our hearts be stout to wait out this long travail, to bear burdens that may come, to impart our courage unto our sons wherever they may be. O Lord, give us faith. Give us faith in Thee." See, America desperately needed divine help, and the President, along with millions of Americans, called out to God for mercy. And that day, listen to this, proved to be the beginning of the end of World War II. The tide had turned in favor of the Allied forces, and 18 months later, the war was over. Prayer can change things. Though Roosevelt's national call to prayer was significant, it was not the first time, nor the last, that a leader called upon his citizens to intercede for their nation. The Bible, in fact, provides a record of the very first national day of prayer. In 2 Chronicles 20, King Jehoshaphat was notified that his people would soon come under attack by the Amorites and Moabite armies. And Jehoshaphat did not call the people to arms, nor did he ask them to flee. Instead, he called Judah to prayer. Say, he called Judah to prayer. With war looming on the horizon, the king and his nation humbly approached the Lord in a unified expression of dependence. When we pray, it's dependence on God, not on our own efforts. That's something in America we got to learn, because we are pretty self-reliant. But Lord, help us to know we're dependent on you. As Jehoshaphat led his people in prayer, he stated, "If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword or judgment or the plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this throne that bears your name, and we'll cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear, and you will save us." Oh, let us get that confidence, that we can stand before the Lord, and he will hear, and he will save. After the people of Judah prayed, the Lord assured them that he would be their deliverer. He then gave Jehoshaphat specific instructions. Judah was to march down to the battlefield where the enemy armies were waiting, and there simply to pray. Boy, could we be open to do something radical for the Lord? Something radical just to be dependent on him and pray. The next morning, the people of Judah, led by King Jehoshaphat, stood at the top of the hill, and they praised God with the word and with song. And at that time, the Lord led an ambush. The Amorites and Moabite armies killed each other. They turned in themselves, and they destroyed their own soldiers. And when the people of Judah looked down on the carnage, it was clear that not a single man had survived. The people had cried out, and the Lord had provided a victory. Let's say, we're going to cry out, and you're going to provide a victory. We need to do that individually and corporately. You're in a situation in your family. Lord, I'm going to cry out, and you're going to hear me, And you're going to save. And you're going to deliver us. I'm feeling better already. Now come on, get a gift of faith here tonight and believe. And the story of Jehoshaphat is a blueprint for what can happen when God's people unite on bended knee. Jehoshaphat relied not on his own power as a king, but on God's power as a king over all the nations. His precept is echoed in the words of the psalmist, Psalm 20 and verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. And I guess today we could say some trust in raised ranch houses and some in BMWs and tanks, but we will remember the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's look at chapter 20 here. Verse 1 says that it happened that many of the enemies gathered together and they came to battle with Jehoshaphat. We're all in a battle today, brother. There's a spiritual battle on all of our lives. And I want you to know it's a part of the bigger battle between the kingdom of God and Lucifer, who said, I'll be like the Most High God. And there's been this ongoing war between good and evil, and we are now caught up in that. And what God is trying to do is work in us individually and corporately together to fill us with His Spirit that we can walk in might and power. And not under the devil's thumb, but we can have power over him and his demons. God would have us to walk in victory in these days. We need to know who we are in God. And we need to know the authority that we have. When a policeman says, stop in the name of the law, that means you stop, or if need be, the whole police force will come and stop you. He don't have power in his own hand, but he represents great power. We're an ambassador for God. We need to know who we are in God. And a great multitude, verse 2, came, and some of them even from Syria. We still have trouble with Syria today, don't we? And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all of Judea. Listen, when you hear of calamities, things that happen, fear sometimes grip us, but our response should be to begin seeking the Lord, and maybe the fast. And he proclaimed a fast for all of Judea. And Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Wow, they came together in unity. They came together unified. We were seek the Lord in this dilemma that we're facing. They probably read the word that God and me are a majority. Yes. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, he stood and he prayed. He had proclaimed a fast and all of the people had come together. You know what a fast is? A fast doesn't change God, it changes us. What a fast is an outward indication of an inward sincerity that we have. Lord, I'm going to deny my flesh. Open my spirit up and I'm seeking you out, oh God. I'm turning from the provisions of this world to you with prayer and fasting that you can come and come in this situation and speak a word to me or change my heart. And I think this prayer that he prayed here is kind of reminiscent to the one that was prayed in earlier, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil way, then I will come and heal their land. We hear that quoted a lot today, but do we really believe it? If we will humble ourselves and pray and seek the Lord and turn from our evil ways, then he will come and heal our land. I tell you this. What we need is a revival in the church. Psalm 85, will thou not revive us again? And I think the answer is yes. How many of us want to be revived? Lord, revive us. Have your way in the church, Lord. We've gotten far off. And so, Jehoshaphat prays and he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God in heaven? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to stand against you? He's proposing to God. Is this not you, God? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever and ever? He's reminding of God. Abraham was your friend. And you told him if he could look to the north, the south, and east, and the west, as far as he could see, that you were going to give it to him and to his descendants forever. Aren't you the God who said that? And they came and they dwelt in it, and they had built you a sanctuary in it for your name's sake. I believe that this ministry has been a place that's been set apart by the Lord. And you need to respect this place, though we're few in numbers. Respect this local church that God has established. God said, I can save by many, or I can save by few. And if I save you, you're saved. And if I heal you, you're healed. So don't be caught up with numbers. I remember a guy, maybe you heard about him, he prayed. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. He prayed again and it did rain. That's a powerful man. He's got a relationship with God, is that right? God can do powerful things through few people who are sincere and fervent with the Lord. And here's what he said. If disaster comes upon us, and brethren, life in America is changing. It's changing. There's people in Israel tonight alive because God said, don't get on that bus. There's terrorism that's happening around the globe. Will it happen here? I don't know. But listen, if disaster does come upon us, if the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and we'll cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear God. You will hear us and save. I want to encourage you, whatever you're facing in your life, no matter how it looks to your eyes or how it feels to you, stand in the presence of the Lord and look to Him. He'll hear, He will save, and He will deliver. I can speak very personally to that right now. I'm going through a hard thing myself. My one son is 39, who's an attorney, has lost his attorney license. And he's in the jail in Albany tonight. On the other side of the bars, 39-year-old man with 3 sons who came out of my loins, passed the bar exam for the first time. But I'm standing in the presence of God. And I'm saying, oh God, you know Jonathan. You know there's a call of God in his life. And I know all that's happened to him where he's at, but oh God, I'm looking to you. Excuse me. Is there a doctor in the house? Yeah. And I had a cold since then. I have a tickle. I don't know what the difference between a tickle and a cold is, but maybe you could tell me later, Doc. But your son in jail, you get bad news from the doctor, you hear about somebody in the family getting divorced, terrorism come, whatever it might be, I want to urge you to stand in the presence of God. You will hear, you will save, and you will deliver. Excuse me. And it's easy to say that when everything's going good. But we got to live out this Bible. We got to live it out. As a father with my own son tonight, of course I hurt. Of course I've wept. But I have more confidence in my God than I do the dilemma that boy's in. Hallelujah. Joseph came out of the pit, went to the pulpit. Jonathan can come out. No telling where God can send him. Is that right? Yeah. And God has promised the good thing that I've begun in you, I will continue it unto the day of my coming. Excuse me, I'm sorry. In verse 11, he says, God, help these people around here. We've ministered to our neighbors, and here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. Better cut my love gift in half, because you're only getting half the message here. But we have blessed these people, and they're going to reward us by throwing us out of this possession. But we remember, God, that you gave us this possession. You gave us this possession. Come on, say that with us. You gave us this son. You gave us this marriage. You gave us this church. You gave us this ministry. You gave me those gifts. You gave me this life. And the devil's not going to throw me out. Boy, if you get nothing else, get that tonight. The devil's not going to throw me out of what God has given me. That just helped me. Praise God. Oh, our Lord, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude to come against us. Or do we know what to do but our eyes on you? Lord, I don't know what to do, but I'm counting on you. That which has come against me is greater than I am, but I know that you're greater than them. Lord, we're surrounded by the enemy, but the enemy is surrounded by you.
Amen.
I want to encourage you to rise up and just stand in his presence and just believe God that he hears and he will save and he will deliver. Hallelujah. There's a man in my area who's 78 years old. He's in a hospital now. He's been a tough, self-made man. Owns a lot of farms, businesses, very prosperous. I've known him all my life, been witnessing to him. In the hospital the other night, I went and said, Bob, I'm here. I'm going to pray with you. And he grabbed my hand tight. And I just said, Father. And just as soon as I said that, tears just started coming out of his eyes. Father, touch Bob here tonight. Whatever sins he's committed, I ask you to forgive him in the name of Jesus. I ask your hand to come down upon him. God began to work in his life right there. You know, sometimes you got to pray a long time. You got to believe. But God did work. God will save and God will deliver. I want to encourage you to stand fast and see the salvation of the Lord. And then all of Judah stood before the Lord. They came, they were prostrate before the Lord, there was prayer, but now they stood before the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon a prophet. You know, God doesn't do anything but what he first speaks to his prophets. And this prophet was a Levite, and he said, listen, all you Judea and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you too listen, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but of God's. I want you tonight, don't be afraid of Islam. That's God's problem. God's got to take care of it. That's God's battle.
Amen.
You need to know it's not your battle, it's the Lord's. Hallelujah. He's the commander-in-chief. He's the one that's in charge. That takes a big burden off us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, if you move on in faith, it gets exciting. Lord, I'm in a pickle. Don't know how I'm getting out, but it's exciting to see how you're going to get me out.
Amen.
And God's got a way out. You know, sometimes you got to cry your way out. Sometimes you got to pray your way out. Sometimes you got to give your way out. You may have to work your way out, but there's a way out. Turn to your name and say, there's a way out. There's a way out. Verse 16, he said, and you will find them, you'll find the enemy at the end of the brook before the wilderness. And you won't need to fight them in this battle. Position yourselves. Listen, brethren, position. T.D. Jakes just wrote a book on positioning. It's important, the position you're in. Get in alignment. Get rightly related to the Word, to the church, and to your Lord. Get rightly related to your neighbor. Get related to your spouse. Get in the right position that you're supposed to be in. Hallelujah. The catcher to catch the ball. It's got to be behind home plate. He's got to be in position. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I tell you, I think we do a lot better, brother. A lot of times we just prayed, fasted, and stood still and see what God's going to do, instead of trying to do it ourselves. Who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem? Do not fear or be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Boy, you can face anything if you know God's with you. Ah, yes, Lord, you're with me. Hallelujah. We may not have a lot of money, but we're all entitled to the peace of God. God's with me. And anytime you don't feel peace, it's the referee saying, hey, you've lost the peace of God. Stop. Oh, I know. I spoke rudely to Pastor Kim. Pastor Kim, I'm sorry. Oh, the peace of God's back. I can walk now. We are entitled to have the peace of God, to go and have God speak to us. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head in the face of the ground, and all of Judea, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, bowed down before the Lord, and they worshiped God. Then the Levites stood to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Say loud and high. They had a problem. They fasted. They prayed. God gave the answer through the prophet. And then there could be loud and high praise that God has heard and God will deliver. Amen. So they rose early in the morning and they went out to the wilderness, and Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear ye, O Judah, and your inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. You know what believe means? It means to be firm, to be stable, to be firmly persuaded, to believe solidly, to consider God trustworthy, and be established in God, and you will be established. I want to encourage you tonight, each one of you, get established in God, and you will be established. Your life will be established. Several years ago, I knew of a mother, grandmother in the Albany area, and she had a grandchild that was in the hospital dying. The doctor said there was no hope for this child whatsoever. And they had it in an oxygen tent. That shows you how many years ago it was. And she went in the pediatric ward, went right up to that crib, opened up the oxygen tank, took that child out, sat in the rocking chair and just rocked and said, this baby shall not die but live. The doctor came in, nurses came in, rebuked her. And all she kept saying, this child shall not die but shall live. And she just rocked that baby. That child's alive tonight. Because grandma got a word from God.
Amen.
That mother, that grandmother had spent time before God and prayed and fasted, and God spoke to her, that child shall live and not die. Amen. Boy, I feel good just saying that. That child shall live and not die.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes. Amen. So we're going to believe God. We're going to believe his prophets. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing before the Lord, who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. And they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Micah 6:8 says, the Lord has shown you, O man of God, what he does require, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. God's mercy endures forever. We've got to learn to give mercy and also love mercy. I tell you, the world today needs mercy. There's sinners in the other part here tonight, but they need mercy. They need the mercy of God.
Amen.
We don't need to go tell people you're a sinner. They know that already. They need some mercy. They need somebody to love them and tell them that there's a God who has great mercy. Mercy and truth have met together and kissed.
Amen.
And mercy wins out. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes. I believe what happened was angels came down, stirred up the whole battlefield. There was such a stirring there that these armies began to fight one another, and they killed off one another. There was mass confusion. And they destroyed one another, says verse 23 and 24. And when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked down at the multitudes And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil, there were valuables, there was jewelry. There was more than they could carry away off these bodies. And it took 3 days for them to have spoil carted back home. They took back what the enemy had stolen from them. And I always use that word to people. There's spoil for you. There's spoil for you. There's spoil for you. God is going to give back what has been stolen. There's spoil for you, and it's coming back with great interest and dividends. Be encouraged. God's going to destroy and deal with the enemy, and God's going to transfer wealth from the heathen to the righteous. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And on the fourth day, they assembled and they blessed the Lord. Then they returned every man to Judah with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. You see, things rise and fall in leadership. They were following Jehoshaphat. He had heard from God. He called a fast, and he led them out there to show the carnage that had happened and where the spoil was, and then he was leading them back home. God places leadership in ministries, and it's good. And we need to follow that leadership as they follow the Lord. And the fear of God came on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest all around. Everybody heard. Did you hear what God did to the enemies? Did you hear what happened? Did you hear how God's people were preserved? They had a fear, a respect, an awe about the things of God. Tonight, I just want to say to you, no matter what happens, whether calamity comes, the sword comes, pestilence, nakedness, the cancer word, whatever comes to you, that you will stand in the presence of God and you will pray and God will hear and God will give deliverance. And you need to do that when you feel good and when you don't feel good. Faith is faith whether you feel good or you don't feel good. And faith gives you faith for more faith. Say that. Faith gives you faith for more faith. And excuse me. There's at least four themes I can see in here. One is Jehoshaphat called for everyone to come together. There was unity. God can bless in unity when we come together, and God can bring His favor and approbation upon a person and upon a people. We need to have faith and trust in God, regardless of the circumstances. And the Bible says, forsake not the assembling together of yourselves, even more so as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Come together. Pray. Believe God together. I saw a second thing is humility here. God is sovereign, and the Lord is our leader. And Jehoshaphat had wisdom to recognize that God has power and God has authority. So let's come together. You believe in the pre-trib rapture? Praise the Lord. You believe in kingdom now or post-trib rapture? Praise God. Let's all agree on this, that the Lord's coming back. Is that okay?
Amen,
brother.
No. Let's agree, though we may have differences of understanding, but what the commonality we have is greater than these personal opinions.
Amen.
And let's let them go, that we can come together. Let's have humility before God. That's one thing we have in America, is arrogance. I can figure it out. I can do it. You know, our approach to God in America is, I got to figure this out, then get it to my heart. In Africa and so on, things are happening. You know why? People accept in their heart, and later on their head can catch up. Let's not have an academic approach to God, but a heart of belief and faith and trust before our God. A third thing I saw was praise. They sang before the Lord. They worshipped Him. They accepted His promises, and they received His shalom, His peace. Hallelujah. Rise up, O Church of God. Rise up and be done with lesser things. Come forth in this hour. And the fourth thing I saw here was dependence. They were dependent on God for deliverance. I want you to know tonight, we're powerless without God. But with God, we can do all things through Him who shall strengthen us. Thank you, Lord. The battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. And many times God leads us into things where the circumstances are overwhelming, the enemy is overwhelming, all these things happen, that we'll come to greater dependence before the Lord, that we'll humble ourselves before the Lord. One thing I've had to learn as a pastor, I can't solve everybody's problems. I'll take you by your hand, and I'll love you, and I'll show you the word. But I'm going to point you there. I can't answer. I don't have the answer. I buried a 4-year-old little child. And at the graveside, the mother who at the funeral service came over and started shaking me and everything, yelling at me, "Why?" When I finally got her under control, I just hugged her and said, "I have no reason. I don't know why, but I'll stand here and cry with you." I don't know why. But we cried together. And you know what? The shalom of God came. The peace came. And you know what the mother said? She's with the Lord. She came to it on her own. Yeah. She's with the Lord. My baby is with the Lord. Hallelujah. So, in these days ahead, let's have unity. Let's continue to work together, flow together within the body, between the other local churches, flow together, have a commonality. Let's believe God for Springfield. Is that all right? For Massachusetts? For the Red Sox? And even the Yankees. I know the Yankees need God, but... yeah, okay. And let's have humility before the Lord. Let's walk humbly with our God. And let's continue to praise God. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise Him. You know? You ever hear Don Gosson on the radio? Say praise the Lord 10 times. He's an old man in his 70s. Praise the Lord. 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 Are you counting us five? Praise the Lord. 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 He said, if you praise the Lord 10 times, you got to have joy in your heart. I know a pastor. He's about 5'2". He's about as wide as he is tall. But he always gets up in front of the church and says, "Praise the Lord." I mean, he just brings peace over the whole congregation. I said, "Praise the Lord." My God, I feel better saying that. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. We're going to praise you regardless of terror or famine or whatever comes. We're going to be in your temple looking to you, and we're going to praise your name. We're going to pray, and you're going to hear, and you will save, and you will deliver. For greater are you than these circumstances. The battle is not mine. The battle is yours, Lord. I believe you, O God. Amen. And I accept the promises of God and appropriate them for my life and situation. You know, the atmosphere is getting clearer in here now. Amen. Just making some declarations like that. Praise God. And I have dependence upon you, God. Hallelujah. Corrie Ten Boom, she said, when I was young, I had an old secretary, and I said, "I'll work, you pray." She said, "When I get old, I got a young secretary." I said, "I'm going to pray, and you're going to work." And you know, the older we get, I think the more dependence we need on the Lord. Amen. Is that right?
Amen.
And that's where we should have been all the way along, dependent upon the Lord, the author and the maker of heaven and of earth, the beginning and the end of all things, the one who will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory, the one who said, "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll take care of you." This poor man cried, David said, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all.
Yes.
Death? Ha, 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 ha. Death, where are you? You've been swallowed up in victory. You've been swallowed up in victory. You ever had a bad tooth? Man, it'd just kill you. And you went to the dentist, you pulled out, and when the tooth went out, all the pain went out. Praise God. And you know, when we leave this earth, we leave this body, we just quit the whole thing. All these things that can create problems and limitations for us, we can be free. It's God's blessing for future growth and development to be with the Lord. Dwight M. Moody was in his 80s and said, soon you're going to read in the paper, Moody is dead. But don't believe a word of it. I'll be more alive than I am tonight. Hallelujah. But while we're in the body and while we're here and while we're on planet Earth now and we're facing all that we are, I want to urge you to come to the temple and be in his presence and look to him, for he hears and he saves and he will deliver.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's give him a clap offering tonight. Recognize the importance of calling upon the Lord for direction and for deliverance. Verse 7 here says this, are you not our God? Who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever. I'm glad we have eternal life. I'm glad that he's our friend forever. He's never going to change us. People change, but he's never going to change. He's always going to be our friend. And he was the God who drove out the inhabitants before, and he's the God who's going to keep us in our land. The devil's not going to chase me out of what God's given me. Thank you, Lord. Listen, when you're coming to something, be very intentional and ask God for his plan for victory. In this case, it was don't go out and fight. In another case, it may be something else. But God has a plan for you. And acknowledge your weakness before the Lord. And acknowledge that you're utterly dependent upon him. Thank you, Lord. And trust. Trust in the Lord. And here's what it says in verse 20. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And give God praise. Give him victory. Thank him for all that he has done and is doing. You know, God, you brought me through this. You brought me through that. You're going to bring me through this that I'm facing right now. Nothing that ever comes in your life or mine takes God by surprise. He has a plan. Already figured out. This terrorism did not surprise God. God knows all about it. And God's working a plan. Do you know what? We're having another revival right tonight in Iraq and in Afghanistan. Our troops are being baptized left and right. They're coming to know Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Young men and women are over there coming to know Christ. If we didn't have this conflict, they'd been here not knowing God, but they knowing God. And you know what? My nephew just came back from Iraq, being there for a year, moving fuel around. While he was there, he was having a Bible study with young Iraqi teenagers. God has plans. He has funny methods of doing evangelism. And you know what, Islam? God has ripped the mask off and said, world, see what this religion's all about.
Amen.
And now a lot of Islamic people are going to be able to call upon the name of the Lord. The one true God, who's not a God of terrorism, but a God of love and of mercy. We're living in a great time, wonderful time, brother. And I just pronounce the blessings of God on you and on this work here. And Lord, I pray on this move to another place that you would clear the atmosphere. You would clear the atmosphere, oh God. And we pray that many people would be ushered in. I pray, Lord, small groups to begin, even outside, Lord, around the city, Lord, we pray for a great ingathering of people to be saved. and delivered and set free. We pray tonight for the mayor and the governmental leadership at Springfield. We pray for the chief of police and the firemen. Pray for the school teachers tonight, Lord. All the governmental institutions. We pray, O God, for your glory to descend down upon them and upon this great city. And Lord, we lift up this state to you, the state of Massachusetts, Lord. And we ask you from the New York border to the Atlantic Ocean that your glory and knowledge shall cover this state. Thank you for what's happening in Boston. Let it spring forth, Lord, to Pittsfield and to Springfield and Gardner and other places, we pray. For we pray in the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. In closing, I just say thank you for your support to me personally. Thank you that we at Pinecrest can serve you, and I love each one of you, and I can be of any help to you or you, and make myself available. It's like we're both in the hospital. I had my operation yesterday. You're going to have yours tomorrow. I can tell you how it goes. I mean, I don't have a lot of wisdom, but I can tell you how it works in the recovery room is. God bless you.